The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Talking to MLB with us, see if he has any football plays as well. Chris Felica, the Bear. You may know him as the Bear from Fox Sports Bet. Fox Sports, period. I should not qualify it as a bet. He also does their college football show, Game Day, tomorrow with the crew each and every Saturday. But he also, of course, is on the betting side. He has the Bear Bets pod, both from an NFL and college football perspective. Two different pods. College football one Thursday, comes out Thursday. NFL Pro football Friday. One comes yep. out today.
Yeah, and Matt's Monday, Thursday, Friday, I believe, just for people that want to get, if they want to listen to All Angles with Matt Brown.
Monday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Good clarification.
I believe there. That's the schedule he's kind of set.
If only we had had Matt Brown around to ask him that.
Yeah, I might have forgot.
Okay. Well, I might have forgot also. Not just you.
Because you were doing a good job asking about the times of the handle. I was like, I should probably make sure he clarifies when the pod comes out, too.
Dr. Bob will join us in 5 minutes to talk about his favorite college football and NFL plays of the week as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, let me get to the tweets here. This is from John B. Not that John B, Kelly. Are you familiar with the old John B from the 90s, R&B crooner?
Nope.
John B, no? Okay. Best thing about London game this year is Disney Plus simulcast. Can't wait to bet the Jags while watching Toy Story characters play football. You going to watch that broadcast?
I'm very confused by it.
Me too.
Can we spend a minute on that just real quick?
No, maybe not a minute.
Not even a minute. But yeah. They're like trying to promote it, and even the players don't know what they're promoting. Yeah. Like I saw some interview with Trevor Lawrence, and he's like, oh, I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for the kids. Yeah, yeah. He's like, do you guys know what character I am? And they're like, you're you.
You're you. You're Trevor
Lawrence.
You're just
like transformed into a cartoon. And he was like, oh, yeah. Okay. We're like, all right. These guys don't even know what's going on with it.
Jason H11, he has two. He says, I'm with Bidlin on I'm with Bidlin. The Jags are dead to me. And he says, and don't discredit Scurvy, Gil. I've had it three times and it's no joke. I don't believe I was discrediting it. I think I am causing awareness is what I'm doing, Kelly Bidlin. No,
I don't even know how do you get scurvy. Isn't it like an old sailor's?
Isn't it a deficiency?
Vitamin C deficiency
of vitamin C. That's
all
correct.
I know is somehow I know the cure for that, where you have to eat a lot of fruit, right, for the vitamin C.
Oh, that seems like a lovely cure. If that's all,
but I don't know really what the symptoms are or anything.
Derek Cross. We need a special numbers game investigation by Kelly Bidlin to find out why one of the windows behind Gil says closed window and the other says window closed. Perhaps I just get distracted too easily. Is that right? Is that back there?
I can't see the far one.
Yeah. We are on it.
I think it might.
And Mike Stacks, I'm thinking about KC, where the Pats have won 9 straight Sunday night football games. Where Pat has won. He's talking about Patrick Mahomes. Pat has won 9 straight Sunday night football games. But in the back of my mind, the Jets beat the Rams a few years ago and cost us in Survivor, KC or Chargers. Scary weekend. We'll get to Dr. Bob here. I just want to say this. I am completely torn on Survivor. 2 entries left. Do I just take 1-9ers and hope that the Philly Christmas, if I ever got there, that Hurts doesn't get Hurts doesn't get hurt between now and then, and just one of them I don't have to think about.
Yeah.
Or do I let everybody? You're not going to have a better place to play the Niners, as great as they are as this week. And then the other choices are, or you could play them both if you wanted to.
I probably.
I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't play them both.
But I might do
I
one.
Probably would play.
I
one.
Might do one. Chargers are the other obvious one. Listen, you're going to have to play some uncomfortable ones at some point.
I mean, it's obvious by the point spread, right?
Like it's obvious by the point spread.
I bet the Chargers already this week in transparency, in full transparency. But like, would I be feeling super comfortable about playing them? No, not at all. It's still the Chargers.
But I mean, it's still September. You're going to have to play a bunch of uncomfortable ones. And then there's other ones like Minnesota. By the way, my contest picks. I've already made plays, right? On if you go back to guessing lines, you know my plays. I bet the Jaguars. These are actually in my account. I bet I bet the Seahawks. Seahawks are a favorite now. They came to my line on that game, and I bet the Cleveland Browns. I think I might bet Pittsburgh. I think I might bet Minnesota. certainly they'll probably be contest plays for me. So anyway, that's where I stand on all this. But those are, yeah, those are my three that I, they're in my betting accounts. Jaguars minus three, Browns when it was 2.5, Seahawks plus one. They're now a favorite in that Monday night game. But I might add Pittsburgh and I might add Minnesota. I don't know.
It's interesting because I have Vikings, Chargers, but like a lot, even yours are where I'll probably lean in the contest too. Like Browns, Seahawks will be heavy leans for me. Jags, I'm going to end up playing Jason. I'm sorry, man, but I think I'm jumping on the Gil Matt bandwagon on this. I've just been trying to, you know, I've been holding that grudge all week, but it's time to let it go and let your money get in play.
Yeah. Do we have Bob, by the way? Not yet? Bob's ready to go, by the way.
He's good to go.
Yeah, he's good. Oh, he's good to go.
Yeah,
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in using predictive algorithms to predict the outcome of sporting events. He's done it for years and years. You can follow him at Dr. Bob Sports. That's Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. Same website URL as well, drbobsports.com. It's Dr. Bob Stoll, everybody. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, I'm all right, Gil. Still recovering from Louisiana Lafayette last week. But anyway, at least New England covered for us.
Explain Louisiana Lafayette last week.
Well, I gave it on the show. And we got a mention on Scott Van Pelt's bad beats, actually. Lafayette had a ridiculous lead. I think they were up at 27 at one point. And then it gets kind of down close. They gave up a defensive touch. They muffed a punt. They gave up a turnover after a turnover. I mean, a touchdown after a turnover, then muffed the punt on the next possession and gave up another quick touchdown. And then later in the game, Buffalo scored late to kind of get within 14. And then the onside kick went 8 yards, and it was going to stop. And they didn't have to touch it. But some guy in Louisiana Lafayette decided to cover the ball when he didn't have to, and he muffed it. Buffalo got the ball back and scored the covering TD. So 7-point loss is a 10-point. Just Lafayette outgained him. What, 7.9 yards per play to 4.8 yards per play, and couldn't win by more than 10.
Jeez.
It was brutal.
All right. Well, Bob, since we have limited time here, let's do a minute on each of these. You're going right back to the Ooh La La Well this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Lafayette. You know, for mentions last week, and Zion Chris has been great at quarterback, great running. He's completing 74% of his passes. That was an upgrade at quarterback when he became the quarterback last week. But a lot of this is against Minnesota. Minnesota's an 11-point favorite now, and I like the points. Minnesota hasn't played an above-average game yet. They started with a 3-point win over Nebraska and got outgained by 1.6 yards per play in that game. Beating Eastern Michigan by 19, that's not good. Only scoring 25 points in Eastern Michigan, that's horrible. They lost by 18 in North Carolina. That's actually their best game statistically, and they lost by 18. And then last week, they lost to Northwestern. I mean, and gave up, you know, They were outplayed at the front line of scrimmage in that game. They've been bad in all four of their games. I think Louisiana Lafayette's underrated right now. So Lafayette plus 11 or more right now, it's plus 11.
Plus 11 right now on that. Okay. UCF was 3-0. Then they went to Kansas State, and they took it on the chin against the Wildcats. But you like them here laying the points against Baylor.
Yeah, I think they're a little underrated, partly because of that game and partly because of another game. They lost by 13 to Kansas State. They outgained Kansas State 7.0 yards per play to 6.5 yards per play. So they didn't play a bad game. And the 7.0 yards per play, that's the worst offensive performance that UCF has had all season. It's a little misleading because they only beat Boise in week 2, 18-16. But they had 530 yards at 8.2 yards per play in that game and somehow only scored 18 points. And they only allowed, you know, 5.8 yards per play to Boise. So they dominated Boise and only won by 2. The other two games, they won by 50 and 32 against a couple bad teams, but they have not played a bad game yet. And, you know, I Baylor's struggling. I mean, the two games they played against decent teams they got. Well, they only lost by 7 to Utah, but Utah's offense is underrated without Cam Rising. And then the two games they played against better than average offenses, they gave up 40 points and 7.7 yards per play to Texas State and Texas. So they've, you know, against good offensive teams, they haven't been able to stop anybody. So I think UCF's going to move the ball well. Chapin might come back for Baylor, but I still like Central Florida at minus 13 or less. It's up to 12.5 right now. So UCF minus 13 or less.
Okay, so Louisiana Lafayette and UCF both laying the number from Dr. Bob in college football. And then in the NFL, and this always worries me when we have like such consensus on any one side in the NFL, but you also like the Vikings here.
Yeah, I it's minus four now. It's 3.5 before. I still like it at minus four. Vikings are second in the league in yards per play, but they're giving the ball away like it was Christmas. I mean, three giveaways a game. And, yeah, as you know, turnovers are not likely. Past turnovers don't correlate very well to, you know, very highly to future turnovers. It's a very low correlation, in fact. So if Minnesota stops turning the ball over, which is likely, then they'll start, you know, scoring points, which they should do in this game. Panthers were already down a couple defensive starters in Thompson and Horn before last week. Then they lost two more starters, Xavier Woods and Frankie Lua last week. And in the four, in the five possessions last week without all four of those starters, they gave up scores on four or five second half possessions to Seattle with those four guys off the field. They should be able to do what they want on offense. Hockenson is averaging 9 yards per target. The Panthers can't defend tight ends. J.J. Jefferson's going up against a backup cornerback. And the Panthers are not good against teams that play a lot of man and blitz. Rookie quarterback, they only have one receiver that can get separation, and that's Thielen. Everybody else can't get open. They have to go to running back in those games against man coverage, and the Vikings are only giving up 3.9 yards per target to running backs. So I think it's a great matchup for the Vikings. As long as they don't turn it over, they should win by more than four.
Bob, appreciate it as always. Maybe next week we'll flip you in the bear, and so we'll get more minutes from you because I know you got other stuff going on that you got to do releases and stuff. But we thank you for the 5 minutes, sir.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Dr. Bob, the great Bob Stoll, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. I miss Bob. We used to hang out in San Francisco all the time. The Bear, Chris Velika from the Bear Bets Pod and all of Fox Sports. On the other side, more college football. It's A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here. Kelly, you know about that. Our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Kelly's off mic. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get all our new, or I should say our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures, bets, award picks, season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. The guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season. Why don't you get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe.
I'm Connor Bedard.
Did you just unleash all of your hockey knowledge?
Yeah. That's a name to watch out for this year, Gil. That's what I hear.
Connor Bedard?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Victor Wembanyama of the NHL.
It is that weird time of year where you're in the sports book. You're like, football everywhere, baseball down the stretch. And you're like, is that live hockey?
I know.
Oh,
racing to get the NBA guide and all these division previews together. It's wild.
Not only do we read tweets, but we also, a lot of guys are live text me during the show, which I'm infinitely grateful for, by the way. Some more hilarious than others. Some I could never read.
Spend time with your kids, Will. Come on.
No, it's not just Will. Steve Fezzik, who I always appreciate live text the show, he agrees with what Matt Brown was saying before about the risk reward on trying to block a field goal is just very poor. And he says offsides, this is Fezzik, he said offsides all the time, 4th and 4, just the most likely defensive penalty on these stupid kicks. He said, if I was a coach, I would not allow my players to go past the line of scrimmage. That per Fezzik. And he also, by the way, he a lot of stuff really bothers him too, and I'm with him because we're 1,000 years old. Like these punt returners who, remember when the rule used to be, don't catch a punt inside your 10.
Yeah.
Plant your feet at the 10. Now they catch it like the 3. It doesn't. He also adds this. He goes, also, we would only practice downing the ball on the 3 on a punt, not the half yard line. It's so true. What possibly goes wrong when they try to do that?
Yeah, when there's the 4 people around it, like, let it go.
Botch that.
You mean an oddly shaped ball took a weird bounce?
No,
weird.
Yeah, the most athletic people in the world can't harness that ball when it's taking those bounces. Let's talk some more college football. I don't know. Maybe he's got some pro football thoughts, too. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the Bear Bets Pod, both NFL and college football editions. You can also find him elsewhere all year long, including horse racing stuff and game day, college game day on Saturdays at Fox Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chris Velika. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I'm going to propose a trade.
Okay.
By the way, if you want to, Dr. Bob to the late 11th or 15th time slot.
Yes.
For me and two unnamed subsets. I want the retired NFL preseason game three subset, yes, and the college basketball conference subset. I want the details on that. Those two subs, we're in business.
So not a straight up swap. You need those thrown in, which Bob, what he's referring to, that is outstanding, by the way. That is great knowledge. What he's referring to is Bob will come on here, for those who don't know what Chris is talking about, and he'll be like, oh, this is like 68 and 24 over 15 years of this particular trend. There's also a subset of this that is even better than that. But, like, he never tells you what the subset is.
Because
he keeps some stuff to himself. So there you go. Chris wants a couple subsets.
Sounds fair to me.
Otherwise, he's not moving. He's keeping his time slot.
And I'll even throw in, you know, how Dave Sharapan has the CLV Garbage Pail Trophy. I'll even throw in a yards per play trophy for Dr. Bob. It sounds like he's lost a couple of bets in the
Hey, let me just say,
I'm a giving, caring person, by the way. I just want that to be out there in the open.
Let me just defend him about yards per play, because he was the first guy.
I'm kidding.
I know you are.
Kidding,
I know you are.
Yeah, that Louisiana was a terrible beat.
But he deserves a shout out to yards per play. I know you were kidding, but like for those who don't get it, like Dr. Bob, before anybody else was talking about yards per play, he seized on that. So let's give the man his propers. All right, before we get your picks, I just have one question from last week. I asked this from Futac earlier. I asked this of Futac earlier in the week. The Ohio State Notre Dame game, where Ryan Day went all crazy about Lou Holtz. Ohio State ends up getting an extra point that puts it on three. Some people had it at three. Some people had 2.5. Did you learn more about Ohio State or Notre Dame or both in that game?
I think I learned a little bit more about Notre Dame in defeat. I was a little curious about, like, look, their defense had been great, but their defense did a really good job on Ohio State, and they really should have won that game. It was interesting. Watching that game throughout, it kind of felt like something was just missing with it. And look, give McCord and that offense credit when they needed that game-winning drive. They got it, but there were just a couple of instances. It was short yardage situations where they couldn't get a first down, missed some throws. So I feel like I learned a little bit more. I came away feeling a lot better about Notre Dame as a team than I did Ohio State long term.
Okay. Now for your picks heading into the college football weekend. What do you like best?
I got Houston at a better number than it is now. I think it's 8.5 out there against Texas Tech. I would still take it plus Tech. Houston plus 8 against Texas Tech, with Tyler Shuck being out for the Red Raiders. They're at a backup quarterback, Barron Morton, where there were kind of reports out there that he may be hurt too, and they may have to be down to a third string quarterback. So if that's the case, then grabbing Houston at 8.5. By the way, Houston's starting quarterback this year is Donovan Smith, who was at Texas Tech last year. So like, there are a lot of things going on here. You never really know what you're going to get from the Gainer Holgorsen coach team, but I would think is a big underdog going on the road to a place that Holgorsen's familiar with. I think you get a pretty good effort out of the Cougars here. So I do like Houston plus 8.5. I took Indiana plus 14.5 against Maryland. I hate myself for doing it. It's more of a play against Maryland in this spot, knowing they have that impending undefeated showdown next week in Columbus against Ohio State. But if you look at Indiana, like, they were very respectable against Ohio State and Louisville. And if they play like that tomorrow, I think they could hang within two touchdowns against Maryland. Remember, Maryland, as good as they've been, the last 2 weeks, they've beaten what's the worst team in the ACC in Virginia and maybe the worst team in the Big Ten in Michigan State. And they were plus 8, getting 9 turnovers in those two games. Indiana doesn't turn the ball over. They can hang around with that defense. I like the Hoosiers plus 14.5. And the Auburn team total, I had grabbed it at 15.5. I think that was a FanDuel. I'm not sure if it's still there or not. But if you go back since 2017, when Auburn beat Georgia in the regular season, Auburn scored 10, 10, 6, 14, 10, and 7 in the losses. And if you look at the two games that Auburn has had this year against Power 5 teams, they've scored 3 touchdowns. 2 came on offense, and one of those touchdowns was a 17-yard drive. and they've averaged 3.5 yards a play against Power 5 teams this year. So the Auburn offense, clearly they have quarterback issues, they have offensive line issues, and now you go against the Georgia defense, which has owned them since they become a national power. So Auburn under 15.5 is something I looked at. And then I kind of like Troy getting one against Georgia State. It's a very weird like you look at the number, like Georgia State's 4-0, coming off of a double-digit win against Coastal Carolina. Now you're home against Troy, and you're only a one-point favorite. The line seems a little odd to me. And if you look at how John Summerall has done at Troy in these toss-up type games, it's typically very well. He's won 5 of the 6 games since he's been a head coach at Troy where you've had these kind of toss-up lines. So I think that Troy defense will travel, and I think they have a great chance to win at Georgia State. And in the NFL, I did hear you tease the NFL.
Yes.
2 things I like in the NFL. I do like the Titans getting 2.5 against the Bengals. I think it's going to be a typical Vrabel game.
Yeah.
I don't think a bad offensive line and an immobile quarterback doesn't. Mike Lombardi always talks about bad offensive lines don't travel. I think that's going to be the case again with the Bengals. And I like the Colts. I saw DraftKings had the Colts +1, so I grabbed that. Look, the Rams, Monday night game in Cincinnati, back out west. Now you fly back east to Indianapolis for an early game. Whether it's Anthony Richardson or Gardner Minshew, I think that Colts offense is going to attack a suspect defense. And I like Indy getting the point here. Even if it's a pick, I'd still take the Colts. So that's what we're on this weekend.
Look at you, Mr. NFL podcast man, with your NFL thoughts as well. I love that about you now.
I appreciate that.
One question just out the door, because we got 60 seconds. This is for my DMV people, people in the District, Maryland, Virginia. Why can't Maryland, since you bring them up, involved in one of your plays here, why can't they be a national powerhouse with all that Under Armour money? What's the biggest obstacle for Maryland?
The biggest obstacle is right now you're in a division with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. You're maxed out ceiling-wise in that division. Now maybe you're going to be doing away with the divisions in the Big Ten as it expands. And I will say this, Locks has done a really good job lately in kind of keeping a lot of those DMV recruits, those DC recruits home. And we've seen in years past, but remember Aurelius Ben, the great wide receiver, that he went to Illinois. They've had big name players that haven't stayed home. So I think if Locks just can continue to keep some of those kids home. And now you mentioned the Under Armour money with NIL, that's going to offer another opportunity.
Yeah.
Look, this is a Maryland team that even if they lose next week to Columbus, you look at their schedule, there's no reason why they can't win 8 games this year, maybe even
I'm
more.
Saying. Got to run, Chris. Thank you so much.
Take care, bud. We'll talk soon.
Kelly and I on the other side. More football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code Vegas. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Billen alongside, live from Bar Canada at the D on a numbers game. Kelly, I think I'm going to get those F1 tickets after all of that on
wait,
earlier
like
in the week.
The rooftop tickets or real tickets?
No, rooftop tickets.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I have to get them.
I would if I were you.
I'm so angry about it, and yet I have no choice.
I mean, again, I would have loved...
Why am I living here if I'm not
I would have loved to have been a part of the discussion with your HOA of how they set that dollar amount, because I think they did a great job.
By the way, I told my
because it's not too expensive for the people who live in your building, like the casual fan like you. They got you.
Of course they do. I told my brother this story, by the way. You know, my brother immediately launches in. You should sue them for the time back that you could have used the pool. I'm like, okay, easy. It's not that big of a deal. I understand, but relax. I'm sorry I told you anything.
Oh, that's great.
Charlie D. We get tweets at Beat in the Book. Charlie D, USA #1. Subsets, LOL. Hey, man, those subsets work for him. I will say that. But it was funny that Chris brought that up as a trade, as a throw into the trade. Sports betting guy. Is it true that Notre Dame only had 10 players on the field on the last two plays of the Ohio State game? It was certainly true that
factual.
That was the case in the last one. Yes, absolutely it was. That ain't good. That ain't optimal. Steven Vegas, as part of a 3-team trade with Dr. Bob and Chris Velika, I need Kelly Bidlin to request a virtual background for ANG Oh, so it doesn't look like, he thinks it looks like a Star Trek spaceship behind me. That's what he thinks. He doesn't like
I go
that.
With American Gladiators.
As with any good trade, include the sushi spot recommendation to be named later. That is the thing we hold in the back the most. If we ever wanted people to put in promo code ANG, I would just throw out the sushi spot. We would get 50, like, in the next 5 minutes. All right. What favorite restaurants would you and Dr. Bob go to when you lived in San Francisco? That's from Alfredo E. Lopez. Dr. Bob and I met at a place called Osha Thai. The one we went to on Union Street doesn't exist anymore, but there are still Osha Thai locations all around San Francisco. So that was our go-to jam. I will just respond that way. We ready for Jason? Jason ready for us? No, we are not. Okay. So bottom line then, getting back to, so I think my five circa millions plays will be, and I can sort of say this beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think, because I don't know that anyone else is going to seep into these five circa plays. But three of them will obviously be the ones that I actually have in my betting account, which will be Jacksonville, the Cleveland Browns, and the Seattle Seahawks. Jacksonville Jaguars, Cleveland Browns, Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks being, of course, the Monday night football game. They are now favorites against the Giants. I believe their dog's still in the static circle lines from yesterday. I haven't looked exactly to see where it was. But those will be three plays. And I think I am definitely adding the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road against the Houston Texans. This is a bit of an upgrade in terms of the defense that the Houston Texans will see across the line of scrimmage for them. So I think I'm going to be on Pittsburgh, which was also kind of a guessing lines instinct when I was talking about Survivor. And then I believe the fifth one will be the Minnesota Vikings. I think those are clearly my five, though. Yeah, I think those are my five. Did I mention the Chargers? I did mention the Chargers. Yeah, so five of them.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
I like it. Yeah, I haven't settled exactly.
And let me just say this. Let me give you a shout out here. You're 11-4 in
11
millions.
And four, yeah, 11-4 in millions. So yeah, you got to keep it going. I haven't. This week is, I don't know. This week's tough, but like,
you're my pace car, by the way, on this. I just want to be in your drift.
Nice, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I want to say this week's tough, but if anybody wants to tweet at me like in all caps and be like, stop saying every week is tough. Like, yeah, like that is the case, you know, like I feel like we say that all the time. I'll be on Vikings.
Has to be in caps though.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'll be on Vikings Chargers. What is that? Me and you talked about this a little bit the other day, but with limited other ones that I really like. Yeah, those are my bets for the weeks. I laid the three with the Vikings. That was right when it opened, though. Also played the over in that game. I would still probably lean that way. What, the current number? Never mind. I retract that because if Bryce Young is playing, I probably wouldn't play the over at this point. I laid the points with the Chargers. I think you can still lay that now. I think Jimmy G, if it's Hoyer, it's a drop off to me. But like kind of like Matt Brown was talking about, I don't think it's massive. I mean, Jimmy G
gets no respect.
He gets no respect, but he is one, and he's very similar to Ryan Tannehill to me. That I believe they could be good quarterbacks when they're with the right personnel and in the right systems. And we saw that in San Francisco with Jimmy G.
He did make plays though.
There were some times
when those playoff runs where he made plays for the Niners. That playoff run that he was on with them. Yes.
He's definitely a guy I don't give enough respect to.
Yeah.
I understand.
But I think your opinion is the consensus one. Like, he's never going to be considered one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
I just think it's tough where when you make that transition from San Francisco to playing with the Raiders and the pieces, it's just so drastically different that you almost have to evaluate him completely differently. So,
what did you think about Felica's two NFL picks? Those were kind of like at a left field. Tennessee?
Lean both sides. We talked about that off air the other day. I think that line's a little ridiculous. I just thought both those teams, Cincinnati, obviously, Burrow and everything they're going through. There's a lot there. Tennessee is kind of exactly who I thought Tennessee was going to be, in a pretty crappy team. But you're telling me if we're giving 3 points for home field, like this is Cincinnati with banged up Burrow, would be laying 8.5 points to the Titans? Like this,
I am super worried about Burrow.
I have
this horrible sixth sense about his injury.
Me too. And honestly, I think Jamar Chase was right at the beginning of the year when he was like, I want you to sit until you feel like you are fine, perfect. So I think when we're just talking numbers and is there value on a number, I think there's value on the Titans number there. So I don't mind that play at all from Felica.
I think Wishnev said on the Megapod before you get to the next one. I think he said on the Megapod yesterday. I think it was Wishnev. He's like, this is such a Vrabel 17-16 win.
Yeah. I think that's.
And by the way, if it is, I mean, when we talk about like teams that we don't have our arms wrapped around through 3 weeks in the NFL, Tennessee's like number one for me. Every time I think they're terrible, they'll have a game where they win it. They'll squeak by a game where you don't think they're going to win.
Yeah. I think the one, if you wanted to look for chase props to bet over, and I might be doing the same thing with that, they're going to play. You're going to see a very similar defense by the Titans that you saw the Rams last week, where it is soft coverage, let a lot of stuff, you know, short, no, over the middle, just don't get beat deep. That's what they're trying to do. I could see Ja'Marr Chase racking up a lot of catches again, so that's a player prop I might be looking at this week. The problem is, you know, like, still, these two teams, I'm saying, I think you're getting value with this number. Well, then you could be like, well, the total's 41 and it's 2.5. Kelly, you love teasers. Why don't you just tease up? I still have no idea. I have no interest in teasing up the Titans. So as much as I'm saying I think there's value on this number, I have no interest in doing that.
By the way, did you tease the Packers yesterday?
Of course I did. It was terrible. Yeah.
I think a lot of people went down on the Packers teaser.
I think you're probably right. How about this? One of a buddy I have. So I have two contest entries, right? The one I'm 11-4 in. One I'm a little bit worse. I think it's 10-5 with a friend on the East Coast. He texts me one touchdown in. He's like, man, he's like, I told you the Lions were going to blast these guys this week. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Why aren't we playing them in the contest if that's the case?
Yeah.
Like, I only got a couple plays I really like.
And that's like when Howard Cosell used to do Monday Night Football. He would say at some point.
This is Casey, by the way.
This Casey?
Yeah, Casey again.
Everybody's got a Casey. Everybody's got a Casey. Howard Cosell used to famously on Monday Night Football be like, as I said at the top of the telecast. And they'd go back and be like, you never said that, Howard.
I'm like, never. Casey, you know we're allowed to play these Thursday night games. Like, if there's one you really love, let me know about it next time. But yeah,
I got beat on the in-game. Like, I thought at one point in this game, I was like, oh, my God, the Lions, like, the Green Bay Packers offensive line cannot hold.
Yeah.
The Lions are going to beat them by a million. And nope, then it just completely flipped.
You did a little in-game on the line. I don't blame you at all for that.
Yeah.
This game was the worst game ever because of a couple reasons, Gil. Like, we were texting, second quarter, where you're like, wow, this is a beatdown.
Oh.
Like, I'm turning my attention away. But then what happens in the third quarter? Anybody out there holding a teaser ticket like me, you're like, uh-oh, there's life here.
Yeah.
Backdoor teaser leg, here we come. And then, no, that doesn't.
You know what? I also got a lot of early third quarter yesterday, and it's hard to, like, it's hard to counter this with when people get on this, but they're like, here come the made-up flags on the Lions just to keep the viewers interested. Like, I got at least 4 or 5 of those texts. I'm like, oh, that one did seem kind of off, that one flag there.
Yeah. I wanted to follow up on Chris's.
Oh, yeah, Indianapolis was the other one.
I like that one too. If Richardson's back this week, I'm high on this kid, man. Like, and he's apparently they're going to let him run, and he's cleared protocol. He is 100% good to go. I'll be playing at least an anytime touchdown prop on him, probably over his rushing prop too.
If I was on my game, I would have remembered to ask Chris because Chris did not like Anthony Richardson as a high draft pick.
Either did I.
And so I'm wondering if he has changed his thinking on Anthony Richardson. I mean, he has close in this game. That doesn't mean he's necessarily
incredibly impressive when he's been on the field so far.
Who's been the best so far, though? Stroud of the rookie quarterbacks or Richardson?
Probably Stroud, then Richardson.
Yeah, I think Stroud. We'll come back. We'll see if we can find Jason. If not, more NFL on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win it. Up for grabs, a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. And to sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code ANG.
ANG, A numbers game.
Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 40% off of our football season special today when you use promo code code ANG. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I just want to read this one F1 clarification tweet here. This is Norman Vegas.
Hey, he closed said, window. There it is.
What happened there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there's the investigation.
Oh, look at you. Got window closed. What is behind this?
Slightly smaller font,
closed
too.
window closed. What's going on here at the D? Norman Vegas asks, what happens when F1 finds out that you're building selling tickets to watch F1 race and not cutting them in? Oh, Norm, F1 is perfectly aware of this.
Yeah, this has been a big battle between the hotels and them. Yeah.
They're getting cut in on everything. Everything. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be, like, if you told me that the apartments, the condos facing the strip are going to have, like, they're going to get some massive piece some sheet that just rolls down off the top of the building and covers their view, I wouldn't be surprised.
F1 is putting in screens or blockers around the track at certain locations, yes, to prevent anybody from just getting a hotel room and watching the race that way.
God, like, this is...
It's wild. Like, what did you expect? You were doing it on the strip in Vegas.
We're going to ruin your lives for 4 months, and then we're going to charge you.
Right.
And by the way,
we're going to charge
the politicians that are greased on this, they're not going to tell the people what's going on. You're just going to have to live with it. Oh, God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Weingarten comes to us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California to talk sports betting. Sports betting porn, as Will Hill once described it with Jason. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Seems like it's starting to be the consensus that this F1 race is the worst thing ever to happen to Las Vegas, huh?
It's not starting to. It just, like, it's like, again, cry me a river. It's first world problems. But they have, especially for those of us who live in the middle of the strip, it has destroyed our lives. And now the final insult. Oh, you're not going to, for all of your troubles, you're not going to be able to watch this for free. We're charging you. Enjoy. And we're going to do this every year. It's just horrible. But I'm told if I watch the F1 docuseries on Netflix, I'll love it. So maybe I should start doing that.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
They do a great job of those.
I'm told it's phenomenal. Told it's phenomenal. All right, Jason, you and I have been texting about these final days of the baseball season. One, did you think the Marlins were going to get screwed last night? Did you think Major League Baseball was ever going to revert that to an eighth inning final and give the Marlins the loss?
No, I mean, I saw tweets about it, but it was pretty clear that wasn't going to happen. It was more the issue with I just don't know. Like, you saw the stuff with the ground crew and everything. Like, it was just a bad deal for the Marlins. Like, how did they not finish the game? How did they not just send 9 guys out there for each team and just tell them to swing at everything and not hit the ball?
Yes.
Like, you got to get on the road. Like, I don't know if that's, like, if it's an integrity of the game sort of thing, but I would have been fine with them just sending, you know, 9 random players out there to, you know, finish the game.
Yeah, and for those who say, well, you know, you don't do that in baseball, I would counter by saying, do you remember that San Francisco Giants playoff game where Marco Scudero put his tongue out and was, like, drinking raindrops while there were puddles on the infield and they just played through it? I know it was like a 9-1 game or something like that, but they do. I mean, if you're playing through on that, you can play through on this too.
Yeah. I mean, I think they should have played through it or stayed there and found a window, but Skip Schumacher had total right to be angry at the grounds crew. And, you know, they're as much as I wish the Marlins weren't, they're fighting for a playoff spot, you know, like, and they're not being treated like the other teams. I just feel like they're at a disadvantage here, and it's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to do on Monday? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. So, again, just to clarify for folks heading into this final weekend, if the Marlins hold the tiebreakers over both the Cubs below them and the Diamondbacks above them. So if there is a reason to play on Monday, that would not only – it doesn't have to decide who to make the playoffs – it could decide seeding, too. They'd have to come back to New York and play those final four outs. By the way, the Scudero game was game 7 of the 2012.
Also, potential silver lining, just, you know, for those who like silver lining and these things. If they do have to play on Monday, it means the win total won't cash until Monday, which means it's going to roll over till next week, you know, credit-wise, which, you know.
That's right.
Pretty good if you're going to lose a lot of money, you know, like going to lose on Monday. I always say I'd rather lose on Monday than Sunday.
Speaking of like things that are getting prolonged, do you still love that into Friday, into the last 3 days of the regular season, there is still a stars aligned scenario for the San Diego Padres to make the playoffs? How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants the Padres in the playoffs.
No.
Like as a, oh, we have to play these guys. Reds, Cubs, Marlins, all not as formidable as you know, the Padres lineup with Soto and Blake Snell. And, you know, it's a three-game series there in the beginning, so all sorts of things can happen.
So did you play anything in baseball today? Anything at all?
Yeah, actually a couple things. You know, I'm real annoyed, though. I yesterday should have been a 3-0 day with Marlins under and Rangers. Ended up 0-1. Soon as I hear Aroldis Chapman's coming into the game, I go, oh, great, I'm about to lose. And that's yeah, exactly what happened.
I wasn't even upset.
I was just a little, like, made it all the way this late in the season to have one of those moments. And yeah.
And because of that, the Mariners season really stays alive.
And their win total over stays alive, much to my anger and frustration.
Their win total over, which is 86.5, stays alive. And that division stays alive for a team like the Astros. Like, the Astros could still pull this off because they have the tiebreaker over the Rangers. So everything up for grabs in the AL West.
Yeah. If you want some stuff for today, it's mostly situational stuff, but I think it's actually really good situational stuff. Got the Red Sox plus 101. That's against Baltimore coming off the clinch. It's just the post-clinch game sort of angle. You know, I actually like the Orioles here, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're a bit sluggish today. Then the other game I really like is the A's. A's plus 127 against the Angels. I don't know how much Chase Silseth is expected to pitch for the Angels, but it's his first start post-concussion. Anytime you can fade a pitcher and get plus money, you know, on a guy's first start post-concussion, I don't know if you know, throwing a baseball 90-something miles an hour is really hard after your brain's been bleeding into your head. So give me the A's here. That's like play of the day.
The A's, who are trying to win their 50th game, which is just a friendly reminder that no matter how bad you are in baseball, these teams kind of figure out a way to win 50 games.
What was the opening win total?
A's opening win total was, you mean closing win total?
Yeah, closing win total.
Closing win total was 59.5.
59.5, okay.
Yeah. Didn't it get down to like 48 or something?
Oh,
or?
Midseason? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got the 40s, yeah. Yeah. All right, so those are the two. Oakland A's, the concussion angle, if you will, and then the post-celebration fade angle on the Boston Red Sox against the Orioles. What's your favorite football plays of the weekend? You got anything?
Not much. This is a boring weekend. I don't see much on the teasers so far. I guess there's a couple 2.5s out there, actually, so maybe I got to look at those again.
Are you in Survivor, Jason? Are you in Survivor at all?
No, I didn't. You know, my thing, I always say the Survivor, you know, the $1,500 entry stuff.
Oh, that's
right. I always just buy a pair of shoes.
A lot of feedback on that comment, Jason. A lot of people are like, Jason has $1,500 shoes? A lot of people were perplexed by that. Sure does, he says. Really?
But here's the thing. I would have taken the Broncos both weeks 1 and 2.
I did take the Broncos.
Survivor.
I did.
So
yeah.
That's my point, is I still have my shoes, and I'd already be out of Survivor. So, you know.
I'm sorry. Do you really have $1,500 shoes?
What kind of shoes?
What are
these
about?
Like old Jordans? Are we talking like nice dress shoes? What kind of shoes are we talking?
Like Gucci shoes. Not sneakers. I don't buy
Jason
Gucci
Weingarten's
loafers right
got
there.
Himself some
Yeah, but
Gucci.
They're more like the slippers, because I really don't like wearing shoes. I wear sandals, rainbow sandals, like 99% of the time. But when I do have to wear shoes, I don't like to wear, you know, uncomfortable shoes.
Well,
so,
you know what? I had questions about this before, Gil.
Now you got more.
Fully approve. The
fully
Gucci.
Approved.
Yeah, fully approve.
Gil's seen them. They're like, I got like the red velvety ones.
Yeah, man. This kid.
They're
man.
Absurd. I can't wear them. My place isn't nice enough to walk around in them.
Well, Jason, I can't think of a better way to end the week than on that note. I appreciate it, man. Good luck with all your bets today.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Hope we get some good football this weekend. Yes. And end the baseball season on a high note.
Yes, indeed. Jason Weingarten on A Numbers Game. Best Bets is next. Enjoy.